Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How often do you wish you could walk on water? Certainly I do sometimes. And probably like you, as a son, I thought of my dad doing the same thing, walking on water. I've since learned he could not. And I think my children may see me as walking on water, but I certainly know I don't. As a pastor, I do not walk on water, struggle as I might to try. But wouldn't you like to live above the water that is the world, or the chaotic world in which we live? We would like to live above the fretting and all the troubles of life. We would love to stay above all that and just walk the Christian life. But the truth is that every church is called to be filled with wet disciples. Disciples who think they are strong, full of faith, find out just how quickly, they will lose their faith, and how little faith they actually have to begin with, and how truly weak they are and truly dependent upon Christ. We cannot go to Jesus by walking on the water, but rather Jesus comes to us. And that is far more important for you and your salvation. You and I are similar to Peter, if not cut from the same exact cloth. Right now, the congregation and I are both eager and excited. We're full of faith, eager to walk in that faith together and see what the Lord's going to do next for all of us. We want to see the plans that God has for us all, how he's going to continue to bless us. And we're eager to walk in that way until the bottom falls from under the boat and we find ourselves in the churning waters of trouble, struggles, doubt. And it's at that moment you might start crying out like Peter, "Lord, save me." Sounds a lot like life, doesn't it? What has been making you sink lately? Is it doctor's appointments? Market fluctuations about your nest egg? Despair over lack of friends, your age, and the like? Losing a connection because of distance, going off to a far and unknown place? What's making you to be a wet disciple these days? Making you need Jesus to pull you out of the sea and place you back into the boat that he calls the church? Maybe at such times you have doubt, or you may have doubt, if you have a place before God at all. What good am I, you might think? You don't know enough to remain in the boat, and when you do get out, all you do is flail and sink. How long will God allow such a cycle to continue? How long before we have enough faith not to sink, you might be asking? How long then will God end up with wet disciples? But who actually ever said that being wet was a bad thing? Ponder that for a moment. We might think, oh, Peter was a bit presumptuous to go out onto the water. But who called Peter to come out of the boat in the first place? Yeah, Peter first spoke of the idea, but he says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you." And so Jesus said, "Come." Peter did not walk out of the boat onto the water before Jesus called him. Jesus is the one who called him out there. Now, Peter's known for speaking before really thinking, but Peter's not an idiot. He knew who Jesus was. He knew him to be the Lord of all creation. He knew him because of these things, just because hours before this, he witnessed Jesus take 5 loaves and 2 fish and multiply them to feed 5,000 people, not including women and children. Peter saw in Jesus the workings of God. And this is a great thing. And Peter wanted to be with Jesus. So Peter went out of the boat in faith. But if he went out with faith, we would want to say that Peter did not have enough faith, that it should have been stronger. Had he had enough faith, he would not have sunk. We think that way because that's the way we think of ourselves. We are well known to speak down about those of the past generations, how we have exceeded them in one way or another. We even do this in the church when it comes to faith. Think about how we always want to say, "Well, if I was there, I wouldn't have done that." And Peter plays a great foil. But we cannot and we should not say we would have done better than Peter on the water. Because sinking is exactly what we need. Being a wet disciple is how Jesus wants us to be. Sinking was the best thing for Peter, and sinking is actually the best thing for you and for me. We need to be made aware of our inability to walk on the water. We need the law of God to smack us and wake us up a bit. And we cannot rely upon our own reason or strength for our salvation. That we would die if it was up to us. So God shows us that we must sink if we try to do these things on our own. We cannot save ourselves. We can't swim to shore, but rather you will drown trying. And you will die because of your sins against God's holy law. And while the suffering we will endure as we sink may not be fun to endure, it may hurt our pride and other things, what God is doing to us is actually a merciful act. God sinks us in order to save us. He humbles the proud in order to exalt the humble. He crushes in order to heal. He kills in order to make alive. There's no other way to get us to let go of the things of this world. We must be sunk. We must die to sin and to the world. And it's there in the preaching of the law of God that this happens. And that's where the prayer gets uttered most. Lord, save me. It's a prayer that our Lord Jesus never gets tired of hearing. Lord, save me. It's impossible to pray that prayer too often, for it's exactly what the Lord came to accomplish for you and I when he became man. He came to say it, that he is our Savior. And not only to say it, but to do it. He came to save us sinking sinners. He doesn't come to chastise, but he comes to pull us out of death, that we might have everlasting life. No longer, then, should we just look at water or the sea as a place that kills. It's also now a place where our Savior gives us life. And Luther's flood prayer picks up on this imagery extremely well. The water is a place of condemnation of sin, so the water kills. But through the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, God sanctified and instituted all waters to also be a blessed flood, a lavish washing away of sin. And as the prayer continues, we see where the plucking up out of the water lands the newly baptized. he lands in the ark or the boat of Christ's church. The church is to ever be the place full of wet disciples. We are called to recall our baptism daily. The church is not a place for those who are perfect. It's not a place for those who are failures either, but rather it's a place for those who have been forgiven. It's a place not for the strong, but it's actually a place for the repentant. The church where Jesus expects his wet disciples to be taught is here, in the boat, the church. It's the place where Jesus' living voice is proclaimed, still even today. How can one come to faith if they've never heard? And how is one to hear without someone preaching? So Christ instituted the church to be that place for you and I. Listen to our confessions on the subject of the preaching office and how important the church is. Being the place where Christ's gospel, namely that he has died and risen, that we might be saved, is to be proclaimed. Our churches teach that people cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works. People are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith, and they believe that they are received into favor, and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. By his death, Christ made satisfaction for our sins. God counts this faith for righteousness in his sight. That's Article 4. But listen to the beginning of the next article on the ministry. So that we may obtain this faith, the ministry of teaching the gospel and administering the sacraments was instituted. Through the word and sacraments, as through instruments, the Holy Spirit is given. Our Lord is good, even when it applies that we are to sink. He uses all things unto his ultimate good. He gives you and I preaching and teaching that we might know his law as well as his gospel, that we might cry out all the more, Lord, save me! And he willingly and joyfully does come to save. And when the storms roll in, as they say, you're never alone. You have been placed into his boat. No, you can't walk on water, but you can always be near the Lord Jesus, who can calm the storms of nature as well as the storms of this life. You may get wet, but remember that's a good thing. For remember that you have been washed in the waters of holy baptism. You've drowned to sin. You've died to sin, but you are made alive in Christ Jesus. You've been plucked out of the depths of the deep and put into the church to live out your days in righteousness and purity forever. You are called forgiven. You are called clean. Be those wet disciples, hearing the word of your Savior preached into your ear, rejoicing always in the boat. It is his church. For the Lord has established it for you and I to keep us safe until the day that he returns and ultimately calls all storms to cease and removes every tear of sorrow from our eyes. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit bless you and preserve you until life everlasting. Amen.